People, where are they now? Don. Now, I can't remember his surname, but if I get in touch with Gordon, I'll try and remember it. Got a picture of Don's dog and Don's left arm when he was stood outside the shop at Timsbury in the 70s. Now, there's a photograph, and that is the only photograph that we got of the shop or the goods that we used to sell. Weird, isn't it, what you keep? Yeah, Don's sister, Don's girlfriend. Don't know if they ever got married, but Charmaine Levi and Basil Levi lived in a hotel owned and run by their parents. And it was a hotel based in Lark Hall, just up the hill from St. Saviour's Road, as you head up towards Camden, on the right-hand side. I suppose a lot of people will probably remember those two people. Very pretty girl, Charmaine. Don't know about Basil, I don't think he was that pretty. Oh, yeah, the real solution. Hypocampus, apparently, is helped, stimulated, improved, if you like, by blueberries. Bloody hell. There we go, then. Plenty of blueberries, and apparently the poo, or stools, as was preferred by the host of... see, he's going already. By the host of the One Show. Adrian Charles, not Jeremy Charles. God, it's terrible, isn't it? This is what happens. Your hippocampus goes to pot. Not about the clinical tests, but trials over a 3-month period of various people that were given tests to see what their short-term memory was like. Improvements of up to 30% were made with this group of people by a 3-month period of a regular diet of blueberries. Apparently, to achieve this 30% maximum improvement, it was deemed necessary to eat something in the order of 11 kilos of blueberries. So, plenty of blue poo for you. Got a lovely picture in my mind about a great mound of over 60s being wound round a blueberry bush. So it's a case of not so much here we go around the mulberry bush, it's more a case of here we go around the blueberry bush. Just a vision. I think men become women when they reach 60 plus. The reason I say this is because we sit down more to we seem to become entangled with our feminine side. We learn to try and multitask. The problem being, of course, is that we start one and don't finish it, and then we end up with 3 or 4 on the go. And it's typical. Have you ever done it? You've done your breakfast, or you've gone into the kitchen to do a particular job, and 5 different things have been started, and before you know it, you've lost the plot completely. Typical. So I'm in the kitchen now, just having had my breakfast. I stopped halfway through to do the message, so there we are. And that clunking noise was the stuff going back in the cupboard. People in the story, where are they now? Well, I suppose we better start at the beginning. The first person I introduced, I think, was Michael Ringham. Michael Ringham initially works at the co-op in Westgate Buildings with me, and as a butchery assistant. From then he went on to virtually do nothing similar as myself when I had the accident. And then he was employed by Bob, not Bob. Oh dear. He was employed at the Regency by Bud Godfrey. And they had a very long-standing thing. I suppose Mick went on the road till about 1976, 78, something like that, when his first son was born. I think it's been recorded somewhere that he gave it all up and came back to do something else. Well, far my memory serves me right, there is an incident I can remember. He went to St. Ives and was there for a number of years. He inherited a property from an auntie and stayed there, opened up a business there, and kept that going for a while. I know at one stage he went to America with a few of the Mirror, and California, I think they all disappeared to for a little while, and he came back. When he came back, he opened up in the Bath City Guildhall Market with Limeswold cheese. That's what he introduced to Bath, Limeswold cheese. At that time as well, he also, after that, I think he set up a cafe or a restaurant on Upper Borough Walls. It was at that time he started to become associated with local radio. He was trying to get local radio going for Bath. And after that, he then went into partnership with a guy at Nile House near Livingston, I think it's Herbert Road. Not sure, it's at the junction of Stanley Road and the road that leads into Moreland Road. Anyway, there he became an estate agent, starting buying and selling houses. Or just estate agent, basically. From there, he broke that partnership up and went off with Rose, his wife, to form Ringham's, the estate agency. And he then, I think, it didn't move very far, but I think it was up top of town, top of Milsom Street. There's a parade of shops, some steps, and he had a shop in the corner at one time, an office on the ground floor. Then he moved along a little bit, a few shops along, and then from there he retired and became a councillor. Or I don't know which way round it was. Whether he, I think he became a councillor first. Retired from that and then retired from Ringham's. Shut the Ringham's down. Then went on to work for a company called Savills. I believe it's Savills, the estate agency in Bath. One of the, it's either Cobfire or Savills. So I'll have to try and figure out which one it is. Alright, so that's Michael Ringham done. People, where are they now? Jeff Borlase. He got married to one of the Collins girls who lived in Third Avenue, just two doors up from me. Len Collins was in hospital with me. He was at, in the Crescent at, not Lansdowne Crescent. It's the one that's on the Lower Bristol Road. Norfolk Crescent. He was in Norfolk Crescent working when the building collapsed and he ended up in the ROH. And I was in the bed next to him. So we got all in the ward with him. Not actually in the bed with him, but in the ward with him. We got to know each other fairly well. And one of his daughters, he had two, Sue and, oh, I can't think of the other one. Anyway, the other one married Jeff, and they went off somewhere. I think eventually Jeff went back to Cornwall, down that area, because that's Borlase, his family is quite well known down in that area, and there is a Borlase or two buried in the cemetery at St. Just, in Roseland. That's a little beautiful little spot down there. So, don't know exactly where he did, where he ended up, but I think the last trace for him was in the area of Cornwall. Terry Larkham. Terry, poor old Terry, he had a problem with one eye. He always combed his hair down across it to hide that little feature. He used to live at English Coombe Lane in Bath, up just up in the council houses, up just up there from the Oval. I did read or hear that he died fairly soon in life, so that was the end of Terry, I think. Glenville Hillier, Glenn, again, I don't know what happened to him. He used to live at the Oval with his brother Robin, obviously, and his parents as well. Where he went, I do not know, but I know when I did a trace in about year 2000, he was shown at Eckwick Lane in Peasdown or Eckwick Gardens, that sort of area. So that's the four lads that used to knock around at my house when I was 17. They were all unemployed, we had nothing else to do but that. People, where are they now? Okay, I think it was about 1968 I came up with the Regency and Bud Godfrey and a few groups. Now, Bud Godfrey, I suppose most people know that he ran the Regency for a while, and then he went somewhere else, and I think, Industries, or Tower something in Bristol, somebody's mentioned. But the only thing else I can remember about Bud in Bath was that he ran Hatchets for a while. That's in, just off Queen Square, heading towards Milsom Street, somewhere along that, in that area, not far from what was the Salamander. He ran that for a bit. Then with 1982, with Mick Ringham, just before Mick started the agency, with partnership, they opened up the Apollo Club between them. And that went for, obviously, 82, 84 by the sound of it. And then, apart from when he moved to Weston, he started up the Door Safe bouncer club, not club, but it's more of a institution, a network. My son joined it and was trained by Bud in the ways of self-defense and how to push people around. Then, as far as I can remember from there, because I used to repair Bud's video recorders and stuff, and that's how I got to know him, through John Stacey's at Chelsea Row, again. And then he moved to the Marlborough Tavern. That was the last I heard of him. And then Mick, at the time, while he was at the Marlborough Tavern, was given an instruction to wander off to Weymouth to see if he could find a place for Bud to retire to. And that's a bit about Bud Godfrey that I can bring to mind. The Blues Infirmary, whose members include Dave Graham. Now, Dave used to live along Newbridge Road, and he lived above a newsagent's at the bottom of Chelsea Road. On the right-hand side, there was a small shop, the car park area, and he was in the flat above with his mum and himself, just the two of them. And we used to go back there with the girls and spend the night there. We were always looking to... we had a queue up, usually two or three deep, waiting to get hold of or get into whatever was available at the time. And I can remember one night we stayed there for about 6 or 7 hours, waiting my turn to have a go with, I think her name was Les Arwood, local bike. Now, the rest of the lads, Drew, I've got no idea what happened to him. Dave Merrilies, I think, became a policeman, or something to do with the police force. The drummer and bass player, I couldn't tell you. I've got no idea about those two at all. Now, if we move off from them onto the, I think it would be the Mirror, next ones. Chris Warnett, the singer, became the chief executive officer of Rotork USA. Mike Stewart, the bass guitarist, he is now with the Customs and Excise. He's one of seven guys in the country, one of the top people. He's now at Bury St Edmunds. Nick Bigsby, he left Bath to become a vision mixer and then a producer with London Weekend Television. His parents used to own the hotel on the left-hand side as you went up towards the Blaithwaite Arms at Lansdowne. Who else is in that group? Bob Pierce. No, Bobby, yes, he's still around and always wanted to build a studio, has built a studio, still owns a studio, still runs a studio, so he's lived the dream. And he owns the Bunker Studio in Bristol for his woes. And he works with his wife and they do various services that you would expect to find at a studio. So that's those guys out the way. People, where are they now? The Alan Keel Trio. Now, Alan Sidwell, he was a lorry driver initially, and he stayed doing that until he became fairly ill. In about 1984, 85, he came to see me. I hadn't seen him for quite a number of years, and I knew that he'd married one of the Newlands, the builders merchants in Bristol. And he was a sort of kept man for a little while and lived out in the wilds of Bristol in a very, very posh residence. And then they had a disagreement, a falling out, and they separated. And he left to go to, I think it was somewhere out Longwell Green, somewhere out that way, or maybe it was on the way to the A420 at... not Longwell Green, I think it'd be Oldland Common, that's right. He was in the house at Oldland Common and he met another separated person, Joan, and they moved in together and he got himself involved with monitoring a few drugs gangs. So the police put him in to hide him after giving evidence, and they put him in to hide him at Sudley Castle up near Cheltenham. And the two of them stayed there for quite a while, just in a building. Sort of a lodge, more like a little lodge associated with Sudley Castle. So, difficult bloke to find. Then he moved on to Sandringham, which is a little... Was it Sandringham? Yes, a little village that had that chemical alert quite a few years ago. Still played his guitar, went around entertaining the old folks in rest homes and various other places, because by now himself he's getting on for 60. Still not very good in health, and he suffered with leukemia. And leukemia eventually killed him. The last thing he did was stage musical called, he was in the stage musical Oklahoma at the Rose Theatre in Cheltenham, where the funny man who I keep talking about, Eric Morecambe, he died. Collapsed on the stage there at that point. So Alan, unfortunately, died in about 2005, I think it was. Last time I saw him, I recorded some of his old performances in the 70s back onto DVD and cleaned them all up for him and put them on another DVD. Now I've got two of his, if anybody knows him, anybody wants them, we got those. Now, Dave Powis. After my association with the group, Dave went on to become married to Patsy, and they lived at opposite the co-op in Odden. I think I've recorded this somewhere else before. Yeah, driving for Silver Sales Taxis, and as far as I'm aware, that was the last thing he did. And so I don't know if he's still alive. No idea. Roger Hayward. Now, I've known Roger since we were probably 5 years old. Our fathers used to work on the bus companies together in Bath. And Roger spent time in and out, because his mum wasn't very well. She had TB. So he was taken into local care, because his parents couldn't cope with two children, or his dad couldn't keep a job going and look after two children. So he went to local care for a bit. And I suppose we bumped into each other over the years, on and off. You know, we had a little gaps, a couple of years where we didn't see each other. And then I suppose he came back into life for me when I was about 15. And from there on in, right up to the present day, he's still motorbiking, he's still going out on boats, likes his canoes, likes the piano, likes music. He's got musical instruments by the ton. So we knock around, do various things. So he's still up and running. Don't know about anybody else, but let's just see what we got. People, where are they now? Tony Dirk, who was in Paul Vernon and the Raiders, he's a guitarist, also a good keyboard player. He's, funny enough, he lived in Timsbury for quite a while, because he married a local girl, Janet Dirk. Well, Janet, I don't know her maiden name, but he came to live in Timsbury and stayed here for quite a number of years, and he's still here now. He used to run several businesses. He ran... Yeah, first of all, I got associated with him in the 1980s when he was running a video library, mobile video library in a business. He used to have a Mercedes van chucking about all the little villages, all the outlying areas to rent out tapes to him. Like most people who were entrepreneurial in those days that had gone through the CB boom and went into video. Later on in life, Tony went and opened up a shop. His wife ran in Timsbury, it was a video library. He's got a gardening service that he runs, and I think now he's retired. He lives not too far from me in Timsbury. Graham Binstead, no, I haven't seen him for a long, long time. Dave Southall from the Harmony Hall. Dave used to, well, I think in the late 1990s, somewhere about 2000, he formed the Dave Southall Band. It's basically, I think it was about 18-piece, something like that, quite big. And they toured a number of places, and the last time I saw the Dave Southall Band was at Shepton Mallet Showground, when one of the camping display motorhome shows was down there. Dave wasn't there, unfortunately, because he'd already died of a heart attack. 2004, but he went on to run Assembly Music, or own Assembly Music, in Monmouth Street for years and years and years. So that this is all I can remember about Dave Southall. People, where are they now? Malcolm James and Jean James, eventually, after Malcolm's affairs with various women, they split up, they parted company, divorced. Malcolm went to live at well, wherever he was working, that's where he went to live. He did, however, end up in a flat in Walcott Street in the mid-70s. His businesses included MJames TV at Timsbury, which I bought part of the buildings that he that he owned there. Bath TV service at 78 Walcott Street, which ceased trading, I don't know when. Probably when Gordon White. Now, Gordon left to join me, working with Granada, and he left there about 1900. So I suppose Bath TV finished up trading round about 1978, thereabouts. And then my Jane Malcolm went on to run a business in Bath, a shop. Now, before running the shop, though, he used to have Crescent Motors. He used to run Crescent Motors with repairs and balloting and things like such up at behind the Royal Crescent in Bath. And then he had a shop in town selling figurines and all objects of weird and wonderful art from the East. Mainly in the Singapore area, and that was where he went. He actually left Britain in about 1975-76 and zoomed off to, yeah, that don't make sense. I think he left about 76-77 when he zoomed off with whoever it was he was living with at the time to open a business in Singapore, and as far as I'm aware, he's still there. Whether he's alive, don't know. Jean James moved back in with her mum in Bristol, with Steve, the boy, and that's all I remember of her. Gordon White, as I said, he worked at Bath TV for quite a number of years. He used to live in Staple Hill in Bristol. I think it was, yeah, I'm pretty certain it was Staple Hill area of Bristol. He went on to join and work in the Bath branch of Granada TV Rental, and he stayed there for a while. Then he moved on to Trowbridge, lived at Trowbridge, at near Marsden's in Trowbridge. As far as I know, he's still there. He's become a radio amateur. He's retired now. His hobbies include model boats and radio. His wife, Diane, died some years back now, about 2000 something. Don't remember what she died of. So that's Gordon and Malcolm James. A revelation. The hippocampus apparently is the item responsible for the lack of short memory in older people. So we need more relaxation. Not so much a hippocampus. I'm just watching a bloody great helicopter zoom across here. Anyway, not so much a hippocampus as higher campers, and that's what I think all old people should do, is go out and buy a motorhome.